Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day! Whirling around at night!
Well? There goes the Daverhood! Welcome, everyone! It is so good to be back here in the Daverhood at AM 1240 WGBB. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, the host of Dave's Gone By. And yes, we've had new shows for the past couple of weeks because we've been playing parts of the WGBB New Year's special that I hosted back at the end of December, which is really a very good time to be hosting a New Year's show. But I was supposed to be here doing some live programs, but 2 weeks ago, I got hit with the bad back from hell. It's a word that I had not heard, I think, since All in the Family or shows of that era. Something called lumbago. I thought it was like the slang term that people used for some kind of flu ailment. Well, turns out, when I went to the orthopedist because I was in excruciating enormous amounts of pain, depending on what position I was in or what position I was trying to get out of or back into. So, go to the orthopedist, and what do I see circled on his chart to describe my ailment, my difficulty? Lumbago. It's a real word, and they still use it. It just feels like a 1950s word for lower back pain. But let me tell you, it is not a word. Anybody within the sound of my voice who has had that realizes it's not a word you want to hear very often and be subjected to. So I apologize, first of all, before anything else, for everybody who was tuning in 2 weeks ago to hear the show with Tom Soames. He's a pet expert, and he was going to be interviewing my dog, as it were, and we're going to have some fun with him. We had to cancel that and play a pre-recorded program of the New Year's stuff. And then last week, I was still under the weather with a bad back and had to go off and actually do a happy thing. My cousin got married, so mazel tov to them. So it's 2 weeks away from the neighborhood, and I was going through withdrawal syndromes. I was picking up pieces of silverware in the kitchen and making believe they were a microphone just because I was so missing and so far away. Whenever my wife would talk to me or I was talking to family, I would crinkle some paper so I could have some static, so it would be sounding at least like I was talking to someone on the radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting my Jones, I'm getting my fix back. I'm breathing deep, I'm inhaling the fumes of Babylon, Long Island, and a radio station that's 85 years old, and so a radio station that age will have some smell about it, but it's a good kind of smell, and it's great to be back. Welcome to the neighborhood for our 286th episode of Dave's Gone By tonight. We're calling it Jaywalking because our guest is a fellow named Dave J, or if you want to give his full name, it's Dave J. Gerstein, but he tends to go under Dave J for obvious reasons. And so, Dave is a very talented singer-songwriter, and both the pop and a little bit of theater, and also the jingle variety. He really is not so much, well, sometimes a song-for-hire kind of guy, but also sometimes an inspired children's songwriter, and sometimes a regular pop songwriter. Very eclectic, very talented. You've heard his voice before on this program, because he's the fella who does the Dave's Gone By, there goes the Dave, or Hood Dave. We'll be playing that later. And we'll also be playing some other songs by him. And he's here live in the studio to talk to us and play us some music on this Sunday night. So that's why we're calling this episode Jaywalking. That's what's on the show. Me and Dave J. Gerstein. Plus, we'll also, from the way he's wincing, I've noticed that I'm mispronouncing it. Gerstein. Here I am, a Jew named Lefkowitz. So, Wait, I'm going to put your mic on very briefly for the moment. Yeah, Dave?
Levine Levine.
I get Lefkovich. Lefkovich. I've had that a few times. Lefkowski. And forget it. If there's someone from another country or an African place, they cannot my name, it's only three syllables, and you would figure it was in Sanskrit.
That's why Sanskrit works, but that's why I just go with Dave J, because it's the same in Sanskrit to English.
Yeah, well, although actually, Hispanic people would probably go Dave Hay.
That's true. And then it's all out the window.
But, yeah, but it's David J. Gerstein. Dave J. And Dave J. is, by the way, off Broadway doing something in the New York International Fringe Festival, that huge festival they do every year with literally hundreds of shows taking place. He's doing a solo show called John Paul George Ringo. We will certainly be hearing more about that on this episode.
Ringo.
And we'll also be doing Inside Broadway. That's our weekly look at Broadway and off-Broadway theater and what's going on there. And as part of Inside Broadway, something kind of sad, actually. One of the things that I was looking forward is not perhaps the correct phrase, but one of the things I really wanted to do 2 weeks ago was pay tribute to an actor and a singer named Bruce Adler. Bruce was very much connected to the Jewish theater, although he also had some Broadway credits. He was a Tony nominee or winner for Crazy for You, and he also was Tony nominated for a show called Those Were the Days. But he was also allied with the Folksbühne Theater. He did a lot of cabaret, a lot of Jewish shows. He came from a Yiddish theater family, and he was a marvelous guest on this program. In fact, he was on our 200th program, kind of a real special thing there, only about a year and a half ago, but Bruce Adler died 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to come in here and give a tribute to him. Did not get that chance, but we are going to do that tonight, so we're going to wish him a proper farewell. And it's interesting, this show has been on the radio, on this station, since October of 2002, almost 6 years at this point, and he's only, as far as I know, the third guest we've had to have died. We had rock journalist Al Aronowitz and the singer-songwriter Dottie Berman have both been on the program, and now they're both telecasting from some sort of satellite somewhere else. David Jay is like going out of his chair now because the odds are against him, and he realizes. It's like, no, he'll probably, if he can manage to get through the cabs and the railroads here, you should be able to get through this.
That's a good point.
This show now. Anyway, what we do have to get through before we get to Dave J is our sponsors. We want to thank so much Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. They've been sponsors from the very beginning. They're located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, right near, well, next to what used to be the Lohmann's Shoe Store and is no longer, but Lohmann's is still there across the street. But you want to go to Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copies because Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. Also, you want to patronize Fancy Schmancy Balloons. I want to give out a shout-out to Jeff Goodman. He's the owner and proprietor of Fancy Schmancy Balloons, and he's very often a guest co-host on Dave's Gone By, but he's left me all alone while he goes and plays out in Las Vegas and has some fun there. So hope he's winning a bundle so he can throw even more money towards the show. And just kidding. No, what we get from Jeff is love and talent and affection and all that kind of cool stuff. But what you can give Jeff is your party to decorate. That's what he does. He does the centerpieces. He can book your band if you need it. He can book, the flowers and even the catering, stuff like that. But what he does are the balloons and the centerpieces and makes your party look really nice from big to small. To contact Jeff, he'll be back from Vegas in a day or two. It's 516-797-3229. 516-797-3229. Fancy Schmancy for all your party decorating needs. And this program is also brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. Find out more at performingartsinsider.com. That's also, if you go to davesgoneby.org, the website of this program, you'll also find out how to get a really good discount on an annual subscription to this important theater journal. And, oh, I'll save all the other stuff for later. Let's get to the show. Got to do some commercial business for you, and we'll also hear a song from Dave J, and then we'll be live with Dave Gerstein in the Daverhood. I'm Dave Lefkabibble. We'll be back after this.
It's okay if you don't have a cat or a dog. Get yourself a pickle.
My pet pickle, here's a surprise.
My pet pickle came with burger and fries.
But there's
one thing you may not get. Why a chunga pickle at my pet? Let me tell you in one word, it's love.
Show me the love.
Show me the love. Wish my pickle could talk. Think of all the yarn he's spin about the jar he once lived in. Every story makes you want to grin. My pet pickle plays with pickle pet toys, having fun with the nice girls and boys like you. But there's one thing you may not get. Why I chose a pickle as my pet. Let me tell you in one word, it's love, 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 it's love.
Oh, how I wish my pickle could talk, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is Dave. My pickle doesn't talk, but I do, and I'm very, very happy to talk to the author and performer of that particular song. His name is Dave J. Gerstein, but he's Dave J. to you and to me, and he's in the Daverhood with us on Dave's Gone By. Hello, Dave J.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great, and I thank you so much. Dave, we've been trying to coordinate this interview for a couple of weeks, and between my lumbago back and your schedule and trying to either get to New York and do it here. So first of all, thank you so much for coming out at 11 o'clock at night, schlepping a Babylon. When, you know, yeah.
Well, it's my pleasure. I really appreciate you having me. You're a lot of fun, and this is a lot of fun.
Oh, good. It just started. It only gets worse from here.
Oh.
But also, apparently there's some huge concert at Jones Beach tonight with Black Sabbath and Judas Priest and all that. So maybe that's why it took so long to get a cab for you. You know, why everybody, the whole rest of the world is in Jones Beach, but you're here. And I definitely appreciate that. And I guarantee you, the people in Jones Beach hearing Iron Man and songs like that did not hear My Pet Pickle tonight.
Well, you know what the thing is? All those bands were influenced by the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why I'm here tonight.
Okay. Oh, all right, go ahead. Push the thing. What are you doing?
Well, currently I'm doing a one-man show. It's part of the New York International Fringe Festival called John Paul George Ringo. One word, John Paul George Ringo. And it's a show in which I play each of the Beatles. You can find out more information about it on my website, davej.com. That's DAVEJAY.com. And essentially, I come out dressed as an amalgam of all four Beatles circa 1965. And the entire show is improvised and interactive with the audience. So the audience can ask any question of any Beatle, and I respond as that Beatle, morphing between the four different characterizations.
So you are doing the actual Beatles. You're not like rustling them or creating a Beatles-like thing.
Right.
You're doing John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yeah, they're unique characterizations. It's not a parody.
Oh, okay. That's cool. But you are playing it as them. So John is acerbic, and Paul is kind of cute and lovable, and Ringo is drunk. And
that's right. That's very right. That's
and George is introspective. Oh, well, hell, yeah.
George is the mystic, yes.
Who is your favorite Beatle?
John, I would say.
Okay.
I could relate to him, I think, best, although, you know, I mean, I love them all, of course.
We even had a Beatles tribute band on here about 2 years ago. What were they? Oh, I'm so sorry for forgetting their names, but they were pretty good.
There are a lot of those.
Yeah. It wasn't Beatlemania, but it was like a Beatlemania mania. So
not Beatlemania, but an incredible
simulation. Exactly,
yes.
Yeah. It wasn't a Fab Foe. Well, whatever.
Oh, yeah, well, they're great, too.
What gave you the idea to do the show?
Well, initially I wanted to do something that would showcase what I thought were my creative strengths, you know, doing impressions and writing songs and performing and improvising. And I came to a guy named Brad Calcaterra in New York City. He's a brilliant guy. As part of Sally Johnson's studio, he teaches this class called RISC. And over the course of a year, we worked together to workshop this show into what it is, as I described before. And the guy is, as I said, he's kind of the Lorne Michaels of our generation, I would say. And he's in the sense that he's quite visionary and very detail-oriented. And it's been a pleasure working with him, you know.
Okay. But what did he do physically? I mean,
well, he walks me, basically, and everyone in that class through these exercises of improvisation.
Yeah.
And just throws you... directions, you know, what you have to take and implement immediately, you know, like, give me 10% chocolate syrup on that character I just assigned you, you know, and while I would be doing, speaking from my own personal experience, let me explain that syrup comment,
sure,
okay,
absolutely.
Going a roundabout way here, but what I'm trying to say is, he would walk me and other people in the class through personal experience exercises, where I'd be talking about personal traumatic experience, so that I'd be emotionally open. And he would have me doing Ringo. So I'd be saying, you know, that time, you know, she broke up with me. It was terrible. It wasn't fabulous. And then in the middle of the sentence, he'd say, John. And I'd say, you know, it wasn't John. And, well, you know, it wasn't great at all. You know, it was really hard. And it was hard, and I'd go into specific details, and he'd keep switching me between the characters until I could morph between all of them. And then we also discovered I'd been such a huge Beatle fan my whole life. And that was also the impetus for the show, that I knew everything kind of about them. So I could answer any question pretty much about them.
Whoa. Who's your favorite character to do? Is it John?
I think John was the easiest one for me. You know, it's just the most fun, you know. But then you find, you know, Paul's up here. It's great. Great fun, you know. Because you're great. And you have to remember that.
So, Paul, I'll be honest. Didn't you miss the other leg?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, the leg drops in the show, and then you just go on, you know.
Man, nicely done. I'm trying to think of a Ringo question. Let's see. Barbara Bach, your thoughts?
Oh, you know, I love her. She's fabulous. She's been great to me, and I've been great to her. We love each other.
You're still married? Oh.
Yeah, after all these years. Since Caveman, you know.
Right.
Great flick. Fabulous. Peace and love. I'm making the peace signs. Everybody out there, give me a peace sign.
Well, all right, I am impressed. I really am impressed at those different impressions of John, Paul, George, Ringo. Actually, I should say them much quicker together because it's all
one
title.
Word.
John, Paul, George, Ringo.
John, Paul, George, Ringo.
And they're being performed by our guest in the neighborhood, Dave J. Gerstein.
Yeah, and I tend to just go by Dave J. Kind of keeps the branding simple. Not to, you know, overschmaltz that, but Dave J.
But this is your latest project, and it's certainly far from the only project that you've done. And what I want to know is... First of all, when you're sitting down to write a song,
yes,
and you maybe have a melody in mind or some title or something that you want to, how do you? At what point do you realize this is a children's song, or this is going to be for a grown-up song, CD baby, or this could go into a show kind of? Where does that come in? Where do you figure out what kind of song it is?
That's an interesting question. I think it happens a lot of different ways. For example. Sometimes it will just be a concept, so that'll come to mind. I like thinking in concepts. So My Pet Pickle, which you played at the top of the show, for example, was one actually that my niece always wanted a dog, you see. And, you know, my brother and sister-in-law said, no, you're too young, you won't take care of it. So just to cheer her up, we were out eating, and I just said, hey, look, here's a pickle on my plate. Don't feel bad. Look, I made up a little simple song. And she always, every time I saw her after that, asked me to sing it, and I didn't remember, so eventually I just wrote it, you see. And that's like for a kid's song, but something like a new song that that is more of a Jablamo pop tune.
Oh, Jablamo.
Yes, my own genre of music, because come up with your own word, you've got your own genre, this is what I've done. For example, I was working on this one-man show, and I had been reading that Paul, when he wrote Yellow Submarine, was specifically choosing, speaking of kid songs, one-syllable words, you know, in the town where I was born lived a man who sailed to sea. And I thought, you know, for this new song I'd come up with Mars, which I do in the show, as a matter of fact, that's what I sort of shot to do, which I'd love to share with you sometime.
Can you play Mars? I might have to arrange. I think your mic is okay. It'll pick up the guitar in your voice.
How's that?
Yeah.
Mars is a far-off star from here, but I can get there. Mars is a far-off star from here, but I can go. Mars is a far-off star, baby. Doesn't matter who you are, baby. Mars is a far-off star from here, but I can get there. Anywhere I can see all possibilities. is lying here right before me. Mars is a far off star from here, but we can get there. Mars is a far off star from here, but I can go. Come on with me. Mars is a far off star, baby. Doesn't matter who you are, baby. Mars is a far off star from here, but we can get there. Anything can be if we give it energy. Meteoric roadblock, moon showers a space rock. Adjust your gravity and fly along with me into outer space. Cause baby, face it, Mars is a far off star from here, but we can get there. Come on along now, Mars is a far off star from here, but we can go. Come on with me, Mars is a far off star. Doesn't matter who you are. Mars is a far off star from here, but we can go, 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 go.
There you are.
I'm going to scream like a girly in Shea Stadium.
Oh, it's very girly in Shea Stadium, like Dave.
Yeah, well, it's your mop top hair. You know,
yes.
And it was a I'm going to be
humming. I'm staying from the show, you see. I did the show this evening.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And
yeah.
I should mention that there are three left this week as yeah, part of the Fringe Festival.
People can see John Paul George Ringo tomorrow night, August 11th at 9:30.
Yes.
Tuesday, August 12th at 5:15 in the afternoon, so you can
yes.
get home real early. That's kind of neat.
That's right.
And then there's even a kind of a matinee on this Thursday, August 14th, at a quarter after 4. Where is it?
This is at the Jazz Gallery in New York City. It's 290 Hudson Street.
Uh-huh.
It's between Spring and Dominic down in Soho.
What's the subway of that thing?
That's the C and E train to Houston.
Oh, okay, cool.
And the 1 train to
a nearby Spring,
destination.
Maybe.
Yeah,
well,
that's right. Or the C and E to Spring and the 1 to Houston, actually, I believe it is.
So that was your first show last night. You got or
yeah, last night went great. Tonight went really great. And I really just been enjoying it, you know, because every show is different, you see.
Right, because the audience was asking all the questions. I mean, it's about, I guess, half the show is different every night and the other half is the songs.
Right.
So was it weird trying to write songs that would fit into a show about a band of Beatles rather than do Beatles songs?
Somewhat. I like the angle of the fact that I'm so Beatle-influenced and that the songs sort of tied in as tracks that the Beatles never really got around to recording or versions that were... Because sometimes I'll improvise songs in the show, so we'll be talking about something.
Yeah.
And I'll just use that opportunity to pick up my guitar and just improvise a song.
Cool.
So it's, you know...
At what point did you start writing songs as a kid?
I started at 9 years old, believing myself to be and wishing to be the fifth Monkey.
Oh, so it wasn't even Beatles.
I had not heard of the Beatles yet.
Right.
The Monkeys led me to the Beatles. And it was at that point that I decided, having watched the Monkeys and having gotten every Monkeys album from every babysitter that I had,
right.
That I said, oh, what is this? A combination of great, catchy pop tunes and shtick? Ugh. That's my life.
It's unbeatable, right, okay.
It's an unbeatable combo. We know this.
Yeah. So, and do you remember the first song that you ever wrote?
It was called 'Cause Girl, I Love You.
That's a rather Monkey-influenced track.
Yeah. It went something like
this. Oh, cool.
What would you do if I took your heart? What if I said that you'd tear me apart? Do you think I lie? Something like this. Da, 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 da. Please don't pass me by, 'cause girl, I love you. Yes, I love you more than anyone I ever loved. And in my heart I feel things that I've never felt before. It is just great to have that feeling. You are everything to me, 'cause girl, I love you.
You know,
it's a good thing I'm a G chord when you're
yeah. Right. It's like the C, G, and F is all you got. Actually, I had to go to sleepaway camp that summer where Marshall Zucker, another Long Islander,
yeah,
who's my camp counselor,
okay,
also principal of a high school and a great vibraphonist, But he sat down at the piano. I said, Marshall, you know, could you just, if I sing this to you, could you find the chords?
Cool.
And that's
yeah.
how I know what the chords are.
So you started on guitar. Do you love piano too, or do you have? Are you multi-instrumental?
Only to the extent that, as a songwriter, I can kind of find my way on pretty much any instrument and just write stuff. But the guitar is really what I write on.
Cool. No, because your albums, by the way, you have two albums out. One is sort of for children, right?
Yeah, one is a kid's one.
Called
Kids of All Ages, I like to say.
Right.
Called Balloon to the Moon.
That's where that Pickle song came from, by
That's
the way.
That's right. And we also have a video that I did with my niece on my website for that, that I'm very proud of.
How old is your niece singing about pickles?
Well, she was about, I'm guessing, 9 or 8 when we recorded it.
And she aged about 5 years after singing that. Yeah.
She's about 12 now. She's going to be 12.
All right, mazel.
So, thank you. Mazel and 12, Tov, whatever it is. And
Mazel 12.
And then
yeah.
the follow-up CD is called Songs for Today's Attention Span. That's an adult, if you will, Jablamo Pop.
Jablamo
CD.
Pop, right.
Now, both of those I recorded, I have to give a good plug here, because the guy I work with is brilliant also. His name is Lenny Monticello,
mm-hmm.
out of Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And really, he's just the best guy to work with. Great set of ears, can play any instrument, just a word.
Oh, so team. He did a lot of the production orchestrations.
Yeah, he did really all the production. We co-produced, but he really helped form that sound. You know,
yeah, because it isn't just acoustic guitar on all these things. I mean,
right.
really, they're
I tend to play
records.
Guitar and all the guitars and sing and some keyboards and the more complicated keyboards he plays. He plays all the bass. He's, you know, he's been in a lot of great bands. All Night Chemists is one to check out, and that's his current band.
Yeah.
And he was in a band called This Way that did a lot of great stuff.
Well, I'm so glad you came this way to be in the neighborhood. The only problem is we've got, like, 2 or 3 more minutes before you have to jump in a cab, and I've got to get on with the show. So, unfortunately, all the questions I have to ask you, I can't. Wait, quickly.
Okay.
You were an intern on Saturday Night Live.
That was a great experience, yes. During the Dennis Miller, Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey days, actually, Mike Myers and I had the same first day at the show.
Oh, my gosh.
That was amazing. We both have reddish hair, so people kept confusing Mike Myers and I.
If only.
Yeah, well, right.
So any cool anecdote, anything you really remember?
Well, for example, the first day that I was there, A. Whitney Brown, who was occasionally on Weekend Update, came up to me and said, "You're a comic, right?" And at that time, I was doing stand-up in the clubs and the open mics. I said, "Yeah." And I'd been highly discouraged in the, you know, hierarchical structure they had there from discussing anything, even approaching any writers or any celebrities. And he goes, but he came up to me. So he goes, "You're a comic, right?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, why don't you do a few minutes of the writers' meeting this week?" And I said, okay. And he goes, "How about maybe even do a few minutes on the show this week?" And I'm like, "Oh, great.
Yeah.
I've been discovered. Go." And then he goes, oh, wait, you're the intern, aren't you? Yeah, I thought I was Mike Myers. We had a little in-joke with that between now and then. Between now, you know. But I'm still good friends with a guy named Tom Schiller, who was the first writer hired for the original shows.
Yeah, yeah.
He embodied the original spirit of the comedy on the original Saturday Night Live, or Saturday Night, as far as I'm concerned. And a shout-out to Tom Schiller, one of the funniest guys
Schiller.
I know.
All right. Well, shout out to you as well. Wish I could keep you talking. I wanted that anecdote out of you.
We can keep
and
the
one
cab
more song.
Waiting, you know.
No, we really can't. The cab will go away.
Yeah, okay.
Trust me, the cab
it
will go
be
away.
Be waiting as
so
all
what are we going to close with?
It's a song called One Community that I also do in the show, but it's also on Songs for Today's Attention Span, so it kind of ties right in. And here in the neighborhood, I think we all are one community.
Thank you, Dave J.
So it's been a pleasure. Come check out John Paul George Ringo and DaveJay.com, DaveJay.
And that has the dates of when...
that has everything. Just check out the one-man show part of that, page of that. And here's One Community.
Why can't we be one community? Why are we always breaking in three? Why can't we be one community? I'm talking about you and me. Put down your dukes and pick up the pieces of your life. Put down the nukes and the rope gun missile bullet knife. Why can't we be one community? Why are we always breaking in three? Why can't we be one community? I'm talking about you and me. 'Cause anyone is someone when there's someone there to need you. When you're the one who freed you all the while.
Thank you. And you could also see I was on The View, which you might want to just throw in there.
Oh, well, okay.
You see a clip of me on The View a couple years ago. I won their original song contest. That's on my website.
What? I haven't
you... .com. Did I mention that?
No, you didn't. I, since we have a minute, the cab isn't here quite yet.
Ah.
But I can't see it from here, so...
That they are.
Well, let's hope they are.
Yeah, that's
otherwise,
true.
You're not getting home for a long time.
More time in the day.
What was it like going on The View?
That was really a fun experience. I have to say, they were all really receptive to the song that I'd had written just for them. That was the contest, write a song based on The View. So it's called A Hot Date with the ladies from The View. And
good Lord.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck, very nice, was very chatty.
Oh, you should have smacked her. Come on, for all of us.
You know, I'm not the most political guy, but I respect her points of view as much as the others.
Okay.
And, I mean, she was really sweet, I have to say. And Joy Behar and I had a funny little moment because that's kind of a little long drawn-out story. But needless to say, she had a great sense of humor. And
well, no, I believe that. That's
they were
totally
all really true. Sweet. Star Jones was Meredith Vieira and Barbara Walters, as well as the other two that I mentioned at that time. And they were all really sweet to me.
Do you want to play a little of your View song while I check for the cab?
If I can remember it.
Oh, or if not, well, take us out with something
I'll
else.
I'll tell you what, this is one chord from it as a teaser.
There's someone for everyone, this I already knew. But five someones who would have guessed, they're the ladies from The View.
What is it?
I've got a hot date with the ladies from The View. Fill in your own words here, I know I could get through.
I don't know. No cab?
Not yet.
All right.
Well...
What
cab,
else we got?
Cab will be here soon. Well, I've got some commercials that I've got to run no matter what. So,
okay, well, fair enough.
Let's play some commercials. I'll be back with Inside Broadway and possibly some more Dave J. Gerstein, depending on how this all shakes out. But well, thank you again.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it. Glad your back is feeling better, and glad you're back.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, we are going Inside Broadway, also off and off Broadway, in this segment brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for more than 65 years. Well, as we were just talking about, speaking of off Broadway, this is the second week now of the New York International Fringe Festival. This is the big one. Last month they had a smaller one called the Midtown Theater Festival, and that had that show that Charles Gross was doing and some other things. Now, this is the one that has about 200 or 250 different companies from around the country and around the world, and including the show by Dave J that we were talking about, John Paul, George Ringo, that you can catch three or four more times this week. And I hope I'm going to get to a couple of things in the festival. Between my back and my schedule, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Not as many wild-sounding titles this season as there tended to be. One of the fun things this time of year about the Fringe Festivals happening was we'd get this huge stack of postcards from the press agent on the different shows, and then I'd be sorting through them, going for the most ridiculous, most outlandish, and insane titles to make fun of them and to... sometimes see them, but mostly to make fun of them. Then again, you get shows like You're in Town coming out of that, and you'd wonder how a show like that could ever go anywhere. Turned out to be really good, and it made it all the way to Broadway. So you never know. This year, just, I don't know, the things seem a lot more normal and sedate. You've got a lot of gay shows, of course, and there's a lot of let's make fun of Paris Hilton culture kind of shows as well. So, check them out if you want to find out more about the New York International Fringe Festival that's going on until late August. Now, speaking of not even off Broadway, but I want to give a shout out to someone who's been on this program, Bill Levengood. He's a very, very smart, really brilliant playwright, and written a bunch of very, very fine plays. Unfortunately, just has not had the luck and the productions in New York that he should have, considering the level of his work. Maybe his best known plays include Florida Crackers and, I'm not even remembering one of his better plays there. But anyway, Bill has a new play called Charlie and Emma, and it's getting a reading this week, an industry reading at the Dramatist Guild. It's all about the life of Charles Darwin and the fact that he believes what he believes and is espousing that, and yet he's married to a devout Christian woman. So there's all this marital and social conflict there. So anyway, I wish Bill luck with this reading of his play, Charlie and Emma, this week. And hopefully we'll be hearing maybe a year from now a lot of other things happening with it. Now, going all the way to Broadway for this Inside Broadway news. Well, we've got a couple of closings happening. Thurgood at the Booth Theater and A Chorus Line at the Schoenfeld Theater. They're going to be closing next Sunday, so you still have one more week to catch the solo show about Justice Thurgood Marshall, and which is, well, I thought was okay. A lot of critics liked it a bit more than I did. I found it typical solo educational sort of thing, and then I blah, blah, blah. Other folks found it inspiring and interesting, and they thought the performance by Lawrence Fishburne was really, really good. So there you go. A Chorus Line, the revival of the very, very, very long-running Broadway musical classic, has closing at the Schoenfeld. So, if you, as I said, you have one more week. If you've never seen A Chorus Line before, you really do need to see it once in your life. If you know the show really, really well, no great rush to run out and catch it. Anyway, there's a play about speaking. I mean, when I mentioned rather flippantly that the New York Fringe Festival has its usual preponderance of gay and transgender and lesbian things. This show, I'm going to mention, is not one of them, but it's coming to Off-Broadway in the fall. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a play about someone who impersonates Judy Garland. Whoopee. It's coming to the... Oh, I don't know, maybe it's good. It's coming to the St. Luke's Theater in September. It's called Judy and Me, and features Judy Garland impersonator Peter Mack. This is a show that ran in the cabaret circuit for about 3 years at a place called Rose's Turn, and it's all about, one of the reasons I'm mentioning this, is Long Island's theme. It's all about a boy from Long Island who really feels kind of out of place in this dominant, suburban, white bread culture of, where it's not New York City, it's not Greenwich Village, it's not San Francisco, it's suburban Long Island. So he's growing up in Elmont, and he's obviously gay, and he obviously has this fixation on Judy Garland, because Garland helps him break out of his shell and escape this life that he is tired of and feels trapped in. So, Judy and Me, coming to Off-Broadway in just a couple of weeks, if you folks are interested. Speaking of someone else with a real kind of psychosocial and sexual issues, Equus has announced its full cast. This is a big Broadway revival that's happening. Starts previews first week of September at the Broadhurst Theater. The stars are going to be Daniel Radcliffe. We all know that. He's Harry Potter, and yes, he gets naked. So everybody who's interested in that, there you go. It also stars Richard Griffiths, who won a Tony, playing that professor in The History Boys. The other stars who were just announced recently include Kate Mulgrew, remember Captain Janeway. She'll be in Equus, as will Carolyn McCormick, who's, I think, been on Law and Order now for 40, maybe 47 years. She plays Dr. Olivette, the psychologist, who's always saying, well, you know, It's convincing. I guess they could perhaps be innocent if you twist the law this way. Well, here she's going to be, she has a real head case to deal with, a guy who is busy castrating horses. Interesting. And so, Equus, coming to the Broadhurst Theater in, again, just a couple of weeks. Now, some kind of bad news and sad news to end Inside Broadway with, although Bernie Mac never appeared on Broadway, as far as I know. I want to say a goodbye to him. He did a pretty good show. I never didn't really watch it too much, but I flipped through it, and it wasn't insulting. It wasn't embarrassing. It wasn't one of those UPN 9 sort of ghetto black shows where you put it on and you're like, oh my God, you know, I have to be a whole other culture to be watching this. It was much more mainstream, and he was pretty funny. The kid was a nice relationship and amusing and more real than you usually get. A good show, good comedian, and the fact that he died at 50 pretty sad, and no reason for that. And also, we lost Isaac Hayes within a day or two. I don't know if Isaac Hayes ever did anything for Broadway or off-Broadway, but he kind of became a bit of a laughingstock when he bailed on South Park after all that Scientology stuff. But hey, he did the theme from Shaft, so farewell to him. But no, for this Inside Broadway segment, there are two people that we have to say goodbye to in a bit of a more serious way. First of all, on Thursday, Simon Gray died at age 71 of lung cancer. Simon Gray, talented English playwright, best known for the plays Otherwise Engaged, Quatermain's Terms, and the show Butley. Now, that was revived on Broadway just 2 years ago with Nathan Lane. And it didn't get particularly good reviews, and I liked it more than most. It's funny, I'd seen it when Lane did it out of town in Boston 5 years ago. And I thought, oh, the play's kind of got something to it, but it doesn't really know where it's going, and it's very talky, and not a whole heck of a lot happens that we care about. But when he brought it to Broadway, it grew on me. I understood where the play's thoughts were and what it was really about this professor who just finds everything collapsing all around him, and academia, you know, which was always his safe haven where he could be king of the roost, as it were, even though everything else was crumbling. Now that was crumbling too. Good play, and it's a shame that Simon Gray didn't have more plays done in New York over the more recent years. But he was at work towards the very end adapting whimsical diaries he was writing about fighting lung cancer. And as, the diaries were called The Last Cigarette, aptly enough, and apparently they still may be produced. Someone will probably finish them and cobble them together and turn that into a play. But farewell to Simon Gray, who passed on Thursday. And then, as I mentioned at the top of the show, one of the real sad things, and one of the things I felt worst about not being here 2 weeks ago because of my back, was being unable to say farewell to and pay tribute to Bruce Adler. Bruce Adler was a guest on Dave's Gone By on our 200th episode. It was cool. It saved him for such a landmark show. And he was delightful and very funny and open about his career and very shticky, but in an honest way. I mean, it was, you could tell he's an old-time show-busy kind of guy, but also savvy and right there with you. And just the fact that he died at age 63, you know, still really in his prime as a performer. And he was, I think his last performance wasn't so long ago. He was doing the Sunshine Boys down in Florida when we talked to him. So he died of liver cancer, and he'd been battling it maybe even when we were talking to him a year and a half ago. That's the creepiest thing. He wasn't in studio. He was a telephone guest. So he sounded absolutely fine. In fact, the saddest thing, and what you'll hear in the little interview snippet that I'm going to play in a moment or two, is the fact that he was married once. He had children from that marriage, and then he was fairly newly married with a new kid, maybe a year and a half old. And so I think his child would be 3 or 4 now, and the fact that he had to go so quick is pretty awful. Anyway, Bruce Adler made his Broadway debut playing Ali Hakim in the 1979 revival of Oklahoma, and he was twice Tony nominated. One was for a Jewish-themed show called Those Were the Days, and the other was for Crazy for You, a really, really big Broadway hit. That really made his name and gave him the entree into doing a lot of regional theater, a lot of cabaret stuff, a lot of stuff down in Florida. He was the son of Julius Adler and Henrietta Jacobson, both of the Yiddish theater. And as I mentioned also, probably the saddest thing for us, because he was a guest, he's only the third guest that I know of since this program has begun to have died. We lost Al Aronowitz, and we lost Dottie Berman, and now, unfortunately, we lost Bruce Adler. So, he was our guest on December 17th, 2006, the 200th episode, and just to show how cool he was, I wasn't even the one interviewing him. He was interviewed by Rabbi Saul Solomon, whom, as you know, not every guest takes to the rabbis so well, and some guests just love him and take to him like water, and Bruce Adler was one of those. So here, we're going to hear a little snippet of the rabbi's interview with the late Bruce Adler, well, when Bruce Adler was alive, and then a little bit of the Adler music as well. So here, in tribute, farewell to Bruce.
True story. I'm on my way to the theater today for the performance. As I'm coming in the stage door, I see an elderly gentleman. He's sitting on the curb. He's crying bitter tears. So I went over to him. I said, "Mister, what's the matter? Is life so terrible? What are you crying about?" He said, "Oy vayis mir. Oy vayis mir, Simmergit. Oy, Simmergit, life is wonderful. I just got married to a girl. She's 26 years old. I myself, I'm 93. Oy, Simmergit. Oy, she cooks for me. And she cleans for me. She makes with me kutsinu, mutsinu. Oy, veyes, nirs, imagits, 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 imagits." So I said, "What are you crying about?" He said, "I can't remember where I live." Now I'm finished with my song. Ut-ta-ta, ut-ta-ta. Like I promised, not too long. Ut-ta-ta, ut-ta-ta. All right, it took up 60 minutes. Ut-ta, ut-ta-ta. Just be glad this time I'm finished. Ut-ta, ut-ta-ta. Oy, vey, ut-ta, mama, ut-ta, mama.
Well, it has been a great pleasure talking to you, Bruce Adler. I have one more question for you. Now
certainly.
That you're kind of not only married, but a family man with a wonderful tzotzkala on the way. What, since you have to travel for your jobs, and you do cruises,
right,
and you do these things all over the country.
I just signed with an international agency. I'm out of work all over the world.
True, but seriously, yeah. Is that difficult sometimes with the wife? You know, you when
it is.
There's no one
it
nagging
is.
You for a month. I mean, do you miss that?
Right now, I sort of don't like being away from. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I have 2 days off. Monday and Tuesday we don't play at the Volksbühne, so I'm flying home for the day. For the 2 days tomorrow, because we have a home in Florida as well.
Oh.
And that's where my wife is right now with my two stepchildren, because I have two stepchildren, Emily, who is 15, and AJ, who is 11. And they go to school in Florida. And so we have a home there, and then we have the home here. And right now, because Kinahara, my wife, is in her 27th month, she's not allowed to travel. She stays there, and so I'm going down there. But usually we try to make sure that she and the kids come to visit me or I fly home on a day off. But I'm finally at the point in my life where I don't like being away from home.
Well, we always wish you have a home everywhere with your talent, with your joy that you bring to the theater. And I want to also wish you so much luck and good mazel with the baby on the way.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being with me, Rabbi Solomon. Bruce Adler, God bless you.
It was a great, great pleasure, and I hope to have it again.
We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
Hi, this is Al Aronowitz, and you're listening to Days Gone By on WGBB.
Days Gone By.
Ah, yes, there goes the Daverhook, and yes, that is Dave J's voice there. And I want to thank Dave J so much for bringing his voice here to the Daverhood on WGBB. Ooh, phone's ringing. I wonder, let's pick up. Let's see who's there. WGBB, you are on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Dave's Gone By. Figure I pick up the phone. Who's there?
Hey, how you doing there, young man?
Young man, I like that. Thank you so much. Who am I talking to?
Rabbi.
Who? Sorry?
Rabbi Matzeh.
Oh, okay. Where are you from?
Long Island, of course. Listening out here in Long Island.
Are you listening on the internet, or are you listening on the regular radio?
Regular radio. Don't believe the internet stuff there. You know, it's a trick by the government. They want to peek into your home, use the computer and stuff.
That's true. Well, yeah, it is pretty. Between Yahoo and everything else, I've been getting these spam messages giving me a CNN top 10. If you get those in your email box, just delete them because they're not real. And CNN just put a whole big thing on its blog there. But anyway, so you enjoying the show?
Not by much, if you want me to be honest.
Oh, okay. So why the hell did you call?
Because I enjoy annoying people.
Well, you're doing a marvelous job. What do you do during the day?
Sleep.
This is good. And then you come up, you wake up at night, and you annoy people. That's a good gig. I would like to get that gig. Actually, a lot of people say I do have that gig. So yeah. There you go.
You pretty much do. I find you to be one of the most annoying people on the radio.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much.
And no problem. We have a very good sense of humor. That's besides the point anyway. I want to know is that gospel people coming in, the Ace Lady?
Oh, the gospel people generally start at noon, at midnight or thereabouts. So when she gets here, she'll go on the air. So you got to wait a little longer for Jesus. He hasn't walked on the water yet. I've got a few more minutes. And so, you know, sometimes the water, especially in this weather, it's harder to walk on because it's thicker. So just give him a little more chance, and you'll have your Jesus in just a little while. Told you I was annoying. Well, no, you told me I was annoying. But anyway, got to run. I got some stuff to do. Thanks for calling.
No problem. You have a good night, and get home safely.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. To be insulted by someone nice, that's kind of the story of my life. And anyway, the story of my life, the story of this program is that we're brought to you by three wonderful sponsors. Hewlett, Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett, Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. The number, by the way, is 569-5577, 569-5577 for all your printing and copying needs. Also, PerformingArtsInsider.com. Go there. Look there, because you will learn about a journal that has been covering Broadway and off-Broadway theater for 65 years and counting, and doing it better than ever. And if you go to my website, davesgoneby.org, it will tell you how you can get a subscription, an annual monthly subscription to Performing Arts Insider, which normally costs $175. It's a very expensive journal because it's very insider information that people pay a lot of money for. Well, you can get it for a lot less than $175. Go to davesgoneby.org to find out how. And also, this program is brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. 516-797-3229 for Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Want to remind you that Rabbi Saul Solomon's TV program, Shalom Dammit, is still airing on Manhattan Neighborhood Network and on Long Island Cable. On MNN, it's Sunday afternoons at 1:30 on Channel 67, and hopefully we're going to renew it for another half season. Plus, it's airing on Long Island Cablevision of Woodbury, Channel 115, Wednesdays and Fridays at 7:30. There's been kind of a time lag of getting the episodes to Woodbury, so it may be off for a week or so. But yes, it's still there, Shalom Dammit, Wednesday and Friday mornings on Long Island Cablevision, Public Access Channel 115. And also you can see all the episodes anytime at all on YouTube.com. Just look for Rabbi Saul Solomon. I want to give a couple of shout-outs, by the way, to Jill Sobule. Now, when I first heard about this, I'm not a fan of teen pop. I couldn't tell Miley Cyrus from, you know, a virus, pretty much. I couldn't tell, you know, I don't even know the names, the Jonas Brothers. Who the hell are these kids? Suddenly they're all over the place. 2 weeks ago I never heard of them. Now I pick up every newspaper, the Jonas Brothers. But anyway, apparently there's this singer named Katy Perry, and she's had this huge Billboard hit with I Kissed a Girl. Very well-known, famous, well, pretty well-known and pretty famous song by Jill Sobule. She did this wonderful tune about, you know, a normal, typical person, assumedly heterosexual, kisses a girl, and that's kind of neat, and it doesn't change her world or anything, but it turns out it's okay. Well, I thought, oh my gosh, congratulations! Jill Sobule, who hasn't had a real radio hit since, is going to get all these royalties. Her song's going to go all over the place. It's going to make her huge. And then I learned that, no, it's an entirely different song with the same title. And I just felt so bad. I was like, oh, come on. You know, Joseph Buell is the kind of artist. This is what she did. She went on her website and has raised, amazingly enough, marvelously enough, something like $75,000 to make her next album. She did it the grassroots way. She's got her own label. She's going to put it out herself. And she had a call for people just to donate and give money to make the album happen. And over a bunch of months, they did. But it's just kind of sad that here you've got Katy Perry, this person who just, well, she's 16, came from nowhere, built out of pop fluff, and has this enormous hit song, and Joseph Buell's still doing it at the ground roots level after all these years. But, oh well, do yourself a favor. Go find Joseph Buell's original song, I Kissed a Girl, and you'll see what talent really is. Also, my apologies to Charlie Gross. I was not able to go see the show that I was plugging here for week after week on Dave's Gone By, his show at the Midtown Fringe Festival, How I Found an Affordable Apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and other stories. I was going to all set to go see it, but that was the week that my back was just telling me I couldn't do anything. So, sorry, Charlie, as it were. I did get to see him do kind of a personal command performance when he was still working on it, so I feel like I have seen it. And you can see clips of it on YouTube if you didn't get to go yourselves. I also want to give apologies to Karen Mason. I did not get to see her at Birdland last Monday for the same reasons that I said. Hope you all did, too. She was a marvelous guest on Dave's Gone By just a couple of weeks ago. Well, it is 12:01 a.m. here in the neighborhood, which, by the way, is WGBB Freeport. Want to do some other business to close the show here. First of all, to remind you that you can listen to 25 recent episodes of Dave's Gone By anytime at all for free just by going to davesgoneby.org. That'll link you up to the radio station's website, AM 1240, WGBB.com. And you can hear the interview with Karen Mason and a whole bunch of other people in the last 25 shows that we've done. They're all archived, all on the web. Go to davesgoneby.org. Also, want to have you keep on the lookout, since you're going to the WGBB website, for a show called Filler Up. I've been doing that for just about a full year now, and it's a half hour pure music. Here I do a lot of talking. There is just a lot of eclectic music. It can be a half hour devoted to Bob Dylan. It can be a half hour devoted to some kind of theme, the way Pete Fornatel would do. It can be a half hour devoted to three artists with birthdays that week. You never know. Go to AM1240WGBB.com, look for the schedule, and look and hear Filler Up. I'm going to give a couple of plugs to Robert Kalfin, reminding you that his show, Marie Antoinette, The Color of Flesh, he's directing the show, is still playing at the St. Luke's Theater on West 46th Street, and the number for tickets is 212-239-6200. It's obviously not an open run anymore, because I just did that thing about Judy and me playing at the St. Luke's in the fall. So you probably just have a couple more weeks to go see Marie Antoinette, The Color of Flesh. Want to give a shout-out to Christine Lavin, one of my very, very favorite guests ever on the program. She will be appearing this Friday, August 15th, in Say Something, a Spoken Word Salon at the Laurie Beachman Theater on West 42nd Street at 9th Avenue. The number for tickets to that is 212-695-6909. She's not doing the whole show. She's part of this salon, I guess, of poetry and spoken word and assumedly song, because she's really best known as a singer, and would love to get Christine back on the show sometime soon. Also, letting you know that Chris Smither is going to be playing with Sonny Landreth August 20th. That's just a week or so from now, at the Rockin' the River Cruise off Pier 83. That's also a 42nd Street thing. Go to rtrcruises.com for information on that. Okay, let's see. I've done the thank yous for Dave J. Gerstein, but please go to davej.com for more information on his music and all the stuff that he's doing, as well as going to see John Paul George Ringo at the New York International Fringe Festival this week. You have three more chances to catch it. Want to give a good shout-out to Jeff Goodman, who is my usual guest co-host on Dave's Gone By, but he's gambling away his savings over in Las Vegas. Well, you know what? Why not? Because if he weren't, he'd just be pissing away his savings into a gas tank or just losing his savings in the stock market these days. So why not try Vegas? You know, it's as good as anything else. I want to give a big, big loving shout-out to my wife, Joyce Weil, who, I mean, she's wonderful all the time. She's great every week. But if I tell you to be really seriously indisposed, as I was 2 weeks ago when my back went out, I felt a little achy on a Saturday, and then by Sunday afternoon, I knew I couldn't get to the radio station. I would be lucky just to have a good night's sleep, which, trust me, I did not. Because when your back really goes out, that lower lumbago back thing, and you start to spasm, and you start to feel this thing, I described it to the orthopedist, it's the pain version of when you're playing basketball, and the basketball goes in towards the hoop, and it doesn't go right through the hoop. It kind of shudders back and forth against the rims of the basketball hoop. It goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Imagine your back spasming and doing that in excruciating pain for 5 or 6 seconds at a time. And you never know when it's going to come. And once it's there, ain't nothing you can do except breathe and scream and just wait for it to go away. It's the worst pain I've felt since I had a hernia about, almost a decade ago. And this would happen a couple of times a day and in the evening as well, to the point, of course, where basically bedridden for 3 days or crawling like a hobbit, unable to do even the most basic functional things. And my wife Joyce was there with me all the way, running up and down the stairs, fixing the food, helping me to the bathroom, helping me to do bathroom things when the bathroom was not an option. I mean, okay, that's a really bad back, I'm telling you. Coming with me to the orthopedist, coming with me to physical therapy in the weeks after that, which has been helpful. And just being really everything you could want from not just a wife, but a partner and a soulmate and someone who loves and cares about you. So really, really just an extraordinary person to have in my life, and I thank her so much for what she has been through a very, very difficult 2 weeks, and certainly that first week. Most difficult thing about having a real bad back spasm or something like that, I learned, is, well, first of all, of course, you are mostly immobile. You don't want to do anything. You can't do anything. Once you're up and walking for a long time, you actually sometimes feel a little better after the first 2 or 3 days because everything's in motion, and you know, you've got the muscles, you know, flexing and doing their work. But as soon as you're sedentary for just a little while, when you change that, you feel it, and it shoots through your brain and through your eyes, and you see stars. So you don't want to move, and you're lying back in bed. Nothing else to do. Couldn't do any work. Couldn't concentrate on that. And, could read a bit, could listen to music, but mostly what do? You watch TV, and you discover, when you're like that, in that position, just how funny everything seems to be when you're not allowed to laugh. When you're watching regular TV, you're watching Law and Order on every other bloody channel, or you know, you're poking through the news channels, you're checking the weather, you're checking the baseball score, whatever it is, and okay, you come across a funny show and you start to watch. Well, when you have a bad back and the whole idea of laughing goes right to the base of your spine and radiates outward from there, I'll be darned, but every channel you hit somehow becomes the funniest thing ever. And me, I'm a big fan of the Family Guy. Just my luck, Family Guy seems to be on almost every hour somewhere on cable television. So I put on the Family Guy, I'm like, I enjoy it, I start to watch it, and in most episodes of the Family Guy, something happens somewhere in the middle that is so riotously funny that it starts shaking me to the core. I get the tears in my eyes, I have trouble breathing. That's in the best of times. Now imagine sitting back, chuckling at the Family Guy, and then a scene comes on, and I'm not ready for it, and I think, oh, this is going to be a pretty funny moment, and then it hits me like a wave, and I start to laugh, and then the laugh goes right to the back, right to that lower back lumbago, and howling in pain, and gripping wildly for the remote that falls out of my hand onto the bed, and praying that I can just change the channel so that the laughter will stop. And then, of course, I change the channel, and then there's something else to watch that's almost as funny, but thank God not as funny as Family Guy. So, oh, dear Lord. I remembered that from my hernia, just the fact that television is all the horrible things we say about television, all the fact that so many shows are bad, that so much is crap, and it's all this reality television, and so many repeats, and there's five channels devoted to Law and Order. Sure, television sucks in general, but when it's all you've got, it really is quite a miracle to have television be there for you. And so I want to thank both my wife and television for getting me through the horrors of bad backdom. You're listening to sort of the closing moments of Dave's Gone By. I want to tell the folks who are waiting for Gospel All Night into the Morning that the Gospel All Night into the Morning folks aren't here yet. So when they get here, you'll be hearing Gospel. Till then, you'll be hearing me, Dave Lefkowitz, on Dave's Gone By. What else do I want to talk about on this episode of Dave's Gone By? The other thing that you notice or you realize when your back goes out is how many other people have bad backs and walking problems and gait problems. When you're walking around, when you're running, when you're biking, when you're doing your usual thing, you know, okay, you see old people and old people here and there with canes and wheelchairs. But when you're slow in your roll and you've got a cane, or you can barely move and stuff, and you're trying to make your way down the street, that's when you notice just how many other people are limping, have canes, have walkers, have wheelchairs. You're just sort of like, wait a minute, man, it's like this whole underground culture. There should be magazines for this, because it's a huge untapped market for something. By the way, we can have a phone caller, so let's put the phone caller. Oh, well, they went away. Oh, well. Probably had to go back and get their walker. So, kind of interesting to see that. And I'm not just saying in the orthopedist's office, but just on the street in general. Look around for it now, if you think about it, and just see how many people, even if they don't have an assisted device, are kind of, you know, moving real slow or gimpy or limpy. And I just found that kind of interesting. Did I have any other stuff? Oh, yes. I have three words. Three words that I learned over the past few days, 2 weeks. Bring back Vioxx. That's it. Bring back Vioxx. I've had a bad back before. Okay, it's not a spine thing, thank God. It's not a scoliosis thing. I've had x-rays. My spine is fine, thank God. And then, you know, all the discs are in place. I had a muscle pull, a really bad, bad muscle thing. So, I've had it before. It can happen. You cough the wrong way. You twist the wrong way. Something goes kablooey. You can sleep the wrong way. And you wake up and, oh my God, you're dead for a week. You're just in horrible pain and immobile. Or sometimes you just don't even know what happens. And it comes, anyway, I was told at one point it could be a virus. It could be you could have gotten a cold or a flu, but instead it went into your nervous system. And the way it manifested itself was to go into your back and give you horrors. Any kind of thing like that. All I know is when I had this in the past two or three times, the doctors prescribed a magical little teeny-weeny-weeny pill called Vioxx. And if I tell you, one time I was on vacation in the Hamptons and was in agony, like lying on the carpeted floor, could barely get up, had a Vioxx pill from the last time that I had a back problem. And I'm not saying it got me up and running and bike riding, but, you know, at least it got me to the point where the vacation wasn't completely ruined, where I could live my life, where I could get out of the Hamptons, go on the train, and be okay, or relatively okay. So what happens? They find a drug that works and works beautifully and works just right for my chemistry, and they discover that it's giving people heart attacks. That's the one they took off the market because of all the lawsuits and people were getting heart palpitations. It was going boom, boom, boom. That was Vioxx. Well, what do? Did they say not recommended for people with heart conditions? Did they say big warning for people over the age of something, something? No, they just take the damn thing off the market and then they don't have a viable alternative to it. Oh, sure, they have different ones. There was naproxen, which I tried, and which didn't work very well. And then when I went to the orthopedist, he said, well, I told him, hey, naproxen ain't doing it for me. And the funny thing is, naproxen, and the thing that he gave me, which is I can never pronounce the damn name of it, Acapiga Pugala, some other thing. I don't remember the name of the pill. Maybe if my wife's listening, she'll call in and tell me what it is. But same kind of thing. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's not a pain reliever. It's just there to reduce the swelling and the inflammation. And in fact, the orthopedist asked me, he said, do I want something like an oxycodone or an OxyContin? And I said, well, what about the anti-inflammatory? Assumedly, if the anti-inflammatory works, I won't need a painkiller because the pain is the inflammation. And he said, oh, I'm very, very glad to hear that. I really, you know, I prescribe it to people because they don't want to be in pain and they want it to go away real quick, but obviously it has side effects and you don't want to get hooked on it. Ironically, the night before, my wife and I have been watching TV, and there was a special on MSNBC or one of those channels about all these people who started on oxycodone and turned to heroin. So that was the last thing I was going to put in my system over a bad back. And I told the orthopedist that. But the problem is, these two pills, the naproxen and the other one that he gave me, they were four times the size of a Vioxx pill. They were like regular vitamin pills that you get, the vitamin E pills, no size. And yet they probably worked about a quarter as well. Because most of what really cures these things is time. You pray, you know, people take Aleve, which is just another version of naproxen, that hopefully it helps. I mean, maybe it did help a little in combination with moist heat and ice pads, ice packs that I used, and resting and not moving, whatever, and then physical therapy. But all I'm saying, as I said, three words, bring back Vioxx. Let's bring back a little Dave J musically here to the neighborhood.
Reality TV, we feed your hunger for modality.
nothing. Nothing artificial here. This is real live, homemade kind of radio at AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. Dave's gone by. Finishing now, it's final moments. Again, people who are terribly, terribly worried and confused. Oh, my God, where is gospel? Well, gospel is on its way in a car, and we'll be playing gospel music soon enough, but I need to finish the show first. And get on out of here. I've done, let's see, the sponsors. I've done the plugs. I've done the extras, the reminders. Yeah, I think I'm pretty good. I didn't say hi to my mom and dad, so I want to say love you guys. I just want to tell you what's going to be on the program in the next couple of weeks. First of all, Tom Soames, who was supposed to be on Dave's Gone By 2 weeks ago, will be on, God willing, next week, August 17th. He's the pet expert, and he's going to be talking to my dog, as it were. For more information about him, go to pettech.com. But again, I apologize that I couldn't get him on 2 weeks ago when my back was out. He will be here next week, Tom Soames. Then the week after that, going to be a really cool guest, a very smart guest, Julius Novick. He's a theater critic and a writer, and he's written a new book about Jewish playwrights of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and how they reflected American culture and how American culture reflected upon them. Julius Novick coming, and he's going to be interviewed by Rabbi Saul Solomon, so you don't want to miss that either. And then also coming up in the weeks ahead, Jeremy Schoenfeld. He's a singer-songwriter of both the Broadway and the pop idiom. Kind of interesting stuff, and he's going to start working on some Broadway shows too, so you definitely want to catch him now in his nascent stage, Jeremy Schoenfeld. All these people coming to the neighborhood to Dave's Gone By in the weeks ahead. Well, it is 12:23 a.m. on this Sunday evening. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. It is time, alas, alack, to leave the neighborhood, but I will be back next Sunday, as I said, August 17th, 2008, with the 287th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night. May everything be A-OK and J-OK and gone by.
I'm a big kid. I can't get rid of that part of my heart. Cause I'm a big kid and I won't change. Though all the other grown-ups think it's strange. I think age is just get rid of that part of my heart. Cause I'm a big kid and I won't change. Though all the other grown-ups think it's strange. I think age is just a number. Age is just a number. Get rid of that part of my heart. Cause I'm a big kid and I won't change. Though all the other grown-ups think it's strange. I think age is just a number. Age is just a number.